Well, if you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, we will continue with our journey down the path of what it looks like to be a Spirit-led servant. And again, this is not the what I'm pulling out of this passage is not necessarily what the purpose of Paul writing this passage, but it's just as I read the passage, I saw so many characteristics of a Spirit-led servant, and so that's what my intent is in pulling this out, not in suggesting that this is why the main purpose behind the passage being written. But the last two times we've talked about the Spirit-led servant being somebody who is thankful all of the time in all ways for all things. Secondly, last time we talked about the Spirit-led servant desiring to serve in the Spirit. In other words, not serving out of something that is self-manifested, but truly something from deep within, a desire deep within that you really can't ignore. You just are called, you're compelled to do it, and you proceed from that perspective. Today we're going to talk about, we're going to really talk about three different characteristics. And while we started in verse 9 last time, I'm going to go ahead and start here and finish up 9 and 10. For God, whom I served in my spirit in the preaching of the gospel of his Son, is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you, always in my prayers, making request, if perhaps now, at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. I see three different elements of characteristics in Spirit-led servants in this passage. First of all, I see a concern, a genuine concern, a genuine care in Paul. And I think that's consistent with anybody who is pursuing a calling. Where do I get that from? Well, he says, with God is my witness as to how unceasingly I make mention of you always in my prayers. So you see two key words there, unceasingly and always. So the Spirit-led servant is going to constantly be concerned, have a concern, have a care for those God has entrusted to them. Not a concern from a standpoint of worry, but wanting best for them, keeping them on their minds. This goes for pastor, shepherds, it goes for husbands, wives, it goes for anybody that you have been given to steward, to care for. You think moms, my mom worries about me today, you know, 65 years after my birth. And I know that you moms out there, you think about your kids all the time. Husbands, care for your wives, are constantly looking out for how can I shepherd, how can I steward, how can I make sure that she knows she's loved not only by the Lord, but by me also. So there's a constancy about that care and concern that you have. Secondly, he says, making requests, if perhaps now by the will of God. The Spirit-led servant is going to be submissive to the will of God. In other words, not looking to do things that we can manufacture ourselves to go and do, but truly waiting to be called by God. As an example of this, in Acts 13, in verse 1, it says, "Now there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, had all been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for their work to which I have called them.' Then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. A perfect example of waiting to be sent out. Paul didn't come out and say, okay, now here I am, ain't I great, ain't I somebody, I'm going to go find something to go do. He went to the church, he followed God's direction, and when God was ready, when he prepared not only Saul, but the work that he had him for him to do, he called him, and Paul was sent out. If you go according to this, this pattern of waiting to be sent out, you will see that God will prepare the way and he will supply what you need. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse 6, it says, "Now I say this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. As it is written, he scattered abroad and gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies the seed to the sower and the bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in everything for all liberality, which through us is producing thanksgiving to God." So the waiting to be sent out, and then the relying, the dependence on the Lord to supply the things that you'll need. Remember, if you will, in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, on this rock, on this truth, I will build the church. So Jesus is the one building the church. He will use us in service, but he is the one who's building the church, not you and me. In 1 Corinthians 3:6, Paul says, reminds us, and he says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God is causing the growth. So you hear his submissiveness all the way through this. Finally, in the last point, he says, and perhaps now at last, by the will of God, I may succeed in coming to you. The final aspect that we see in this passage is a willing heart, a willing spirit. You notice he's saying, now at last. So there's been a desire for a long time, but he hasn't pushed it. He's waited. But you see the desire for him to come and the desire to serve the Lord in this way. In Isaiah 6:8, it brought me straight to thinking about Isaiah and God saying to Isaiah, Isaiah writing it, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and whom will go for us? Then I said, here I am, send me." That's that willing heart, and that's the desire to serve God again once he said, it's time to go. That took me to Acts chapter 14, and a wonderful remembrance. If you'll remember Acts chapter 14, Paul is in Lystra, and in verse 16 it says, the generation's gone by. He's healed a man who was born lame. And so he's up and walking. And all the people of the town are celebrating Paul, him and Barnabas. And they're like, these guys are gods. And remember, they tear their cloaks. And they're like, don't worship us. You know, we're the messengers. But they're celebrating and they're thinking, these guys are somebody. Well, then here comes the Jews who are following Paul, trying to create problems for him. They stir them, these same people who are just worshiping Paul, they stir him up, them up in such a frenzy, they stone Paul. Remember? So it says in 16, in the generations gone by, he permitted all the nations to go their own ways, and yet he did not leave himself without witness. In that he did good and gave you rains from heaven, fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. Even saying these things with difficulty, they restrained the crowds from offering sacrifices to them. But Jews came from Antioch and Iconium, and having won over the crowds, they stoned Paul, dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. But while the disciples stood around, he stayed laying down. What did he do? He gets up and enters the city. That's a willing heart. Right? I mean, that's somebody going, y'all killed me. You know, you're celebrating me one minute, and the next minute you're throwing rocks at me. But what did he do? He didn't allow that to stop him. He said, Lord, you asked me to do this. This is what I'm going to do. That's a willing heart. So if we look at the points, that servant, and again, this is what our desire is in discipleship, in teaching the Word of God, is that we understand, what is it that God's telling us? What is it? How does this apply to my life? Well, he's telling us, if we're serving in the Spirit, we're going to have a thankful spirit. If we're serving in the Spirit, we're going to be thankful. We're going to be serving from the Spirit, from deep within us. We're going to have care and concern for those he's entrusted to us. We're going to be obedient to what it is God's telling us to do. We're going to wait for that to become clear to us, and we're going to be willing. When he says go, we're going to say go. Father, we just come before you, Lord, and we thank you for the opportunity that you give us to serve. We thank you for the spirit that you've placed in us. We thank you for the willingness you've placed in us. We thank you for the faith that you've placed in it. Lord, the reality is, if you hadn't done these things for us, it wouldn't be a part of who we are. We'd be selfish. We'd be stuck in our own sin. We wouldn't have care for other people. We'd care for ourselves. Lord, you've made it possible for us to love you by loving us first, and you've made it possible for us to love others, and we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.